You're listening to Rewired and Inspired with Lily Beyond, episode 57.
Welcome to the Mental Fitness School podcast, where we talk all things rewiring your brain to become the inspiring person you're meant to be, inside out. And now to your host and favorite coach, Lily Beyond.
Hello, my friend. How are you? Fine? Oh my gosh, we are getting right into it. As you know, or maybe this is the first touch point you're having with me, my name is Lily Beyond, and for the past 5+ years, I've nothing but helped people get everything they want. Within reason, of course. I've done it in the boardroom, in the bedroom, in the living room, in your headspace, in your closet, whatever room you can have challenges in, I've probably worked there. And one of the things that really stuck with me through all these years, and something that even comes up in first consultations when you book a call with me, is when I ask how they are doing, 9 out of 10 times they reply, "They are fine." But did you know that 1/3 of people are dissatisfied with their lives? That's hundreds of millions of people right now. In your company where you're working right now, chances are that at least 1 or even 2 colleagues mentally resign today because they cannot stand anymore this toxic mix of burning out and boring out at the same time. And maybe you are the one who's considering mentally resigning in the next couple of weeks because you cannot bear the stress load anymore and life is just getting too much. This is just not how life was intended to be. This podcast is a space to talk about burnout, and especially in the context of your workplace, because it is the thing we spend most of our awake time in. So that's why we need to talk about it. If you ever follow me on Instagram, you're going to see me walking on my walking pad and my standing table, because this for me was really the biggest leverage that I have on my time while I am working. This not just applies if you are in your cubicle getting your 100 daily sales calls in, but whatever your work setup is right now, the reality of burning out is more real than ever. There are a couple of really disturbing statistics around workplace burnout that we just need to be aware about. If you ever need to talk to your superior about that to justify coaching with me, here is some material. According to a study by FlexJobs, 75% of workers reported experiencing workplace burnout at some point in their career. 75%! That's 7.5 out of 10 people. And if you ever need to negotiate with your superior or your HR department of whether burnout prevention coaching is for you, tell them how big the consequences are on the sheer productivity of your organization. It really is like wanting to drive high speed, but you feel you cannot get out of first gear, but you need to be in fifth gear to build up some speed and momentum. Because it's crazy if you think about it, like 40% of those same employees from that study, 40% have left their job as a result of this burnout. Picture this image. You have 10 colleagues in front of you, 7.5 of them already experienced burnout, and every second of them left their job as a result of this burnout. So imagine the brain drain, the knowledge drain that's happening, that companies somehow feel they don't have any control over. But we are holding a space here that is proving differently, that there is a way to go about it. Going from this nerve-wracking first gear and shifting to second to third to fourth gear and experience the smoothness that comes with that. In today's episode, I'm going to share with you 7 hacks to ban work burnout. Because I cannot stand this anymore. If you're a person in my sphere, you love working, you love creating something meaningful in this world. But just because some circumstances don't seem to align or you're operating on some past outdated thought and belief patterns, you're messing with a big chunk of your daily experience. And if you think back to the Pixar movie Inside Out, creating those emotional memory bubbles, you're tinting them with blue sadness or red anger, which takes up the majority of your beautiful memory tapestry. And my job is to show you that this is optional. And we're gonna tap into a couple of topics today that will give you a holistic view on what conscious or even subconscious tweaks you can go about to just create more emotional bandwidth for yourself. When we work together, I open your Pandora's box. I get people to stop arguing with their own limitations, to stop self-sabotaging when it's about their own rest and true priorities. And this session today is my rendition of one of my favorite TEDx talks by Mel Robbins, where she talks about this particular topic. When you're saying you're fine, when you're actually not. Let's unpack. If you only hear this one episode ever from me, I'm gonna tell you everything you need to know to get everything you want. And so I want you to take a millisecond right now, and I want you to think of what you want. And I give you full permission to be selfish right now. Screw the golden circle and having a bigger why serving the planets. Right now, I just want you to think about yourself. What do you want? And here's the deal. Try not to make it sound good to other people. Being a healthy role model for the people in your life will never get you up from your couch and onto your treadmill. But maybe losing that muffin top and feeling more sensual when you picture yourself with someone. Now that's motivation. So I want to know, what do you want? Do you want to lose weight? Do you want to increase your income? Do you want to get that raise? Do you want to kick off that passion project? Do you want to feel more love in your relationships? Do you want to have a closet you just love and a house that's just organized where everything has its place? What is it? Pull that desire closer right now. And don't analyze it to death. Just pick something. Because that's truly part of the problem. You won't pick. So we're going to be talking about how to get what you want. And frankly, getting what you want is simple. But notice, I didn't say it's easy, but it's very simple. In fact, if you think about it, we live in the most amazing moment in time. So the thing you want to have, if it's healthy eating for a better night's sleep, or you want to figure out how to take care of your aging parents and finally kick off that passion project you're dreaming about, you can go onto YouTube right now and Google for videos explaining step by step all the things you need to do to make that happen right now, or by people who've done it, who are willing to share their step-by-step process. How to have more time, or how to have a better relationship with your highly sensitive kid? You can Google that and you can probably find at least 1,000 blogs documenting step-by-step information on how to get what you so much desire. You can find anyone online and cyberstalk them. You can just walk into their footsteps and get that thing you want. Just use the science of drafting. Follow what everyone else is doing because someone else is already done it. That's the curse and the blessing of our current time. So let's just establish it's not a matter of not knowing the how. So why don't you have what you want? When you have all the information you're ever gonna need. You have the contacts that you need, or you're one or two inches away to get them. There are probably free tools online for every little thing that allow you to start your own business, join a group, or whatever the heck you want. It all comes down to the one word, that freaking powerful F-bomb. You know what I'm talking about. It's everywhere. You're hearing it all the time. And I honestly don't really understand what's the appeal of that word. You don't sound smart when you're saying it, and it's really not expressing what you're actually feeling. So what's the point of it? It sort of feels like a cheap shot to take just to get it over with and dilute attention away from you. And of course, I'm talking about the word fine. How are you doing? Fine. Oh, really? How often have you heard that? Every freaking Zoom call, every meeting we are into, and our meetings have increased by 120% in the past couple of years. So how often in a day do you hear the word, I'm fine? It's okay. Is it really? You are dragging around these extra 20 kilos on muffin top and you're feeling fine? Living like roommates with your spouse and you're really fine? You haven't had sex in 4 months and you're fine? Really? I don't think so. But see, here's the deal of saying that you're fine. It's actually genius, and I would never really blame you for using it, because if you are fine, you don't have to do anything about it. You get compassion, you get closure, and you get distraction. A perfect scenario for our brain. But when you take a closer look at this word, and if you're ever gonna work with me, you know how picky I am with exact words you're using. When you're saying fine, it literally just makes me angry just hearing it. I'm probably not the only podcast you're listening to, and it's all about how you can feel more alive. And after all that, in the next meeting, someone asks you how you're doing, and you're describing your experience of being alive as fine. What a blah word to use. If you're crappy, say you're crappy. If you're amazing, say you're amazing. Just tell the truth. And that doesn't only apply for the social construct, where you're using it just to lift off that burden of someone else, faking that they actually care about what you're going through. Where you don't have to explain why you're slowly dying inside and secretly hating the life you're living right now. Or other way around, you're actually in a good season and you're feeling amazing. Like I'm for the most part here on the island, living where other people make vacations. And you're talking to someone who is coming at you with a more slow and cloudy attitude. You do not want to make them feel terrible. The bigger issue with the word of being fine is that you say it to yourself. That thing you deep down want, I guarantee you, if you convince yourself that you are fine with not having it, you're never gonna go after it. That's why you're not pushing yourself. It's the areas in your life where you're giving up. Where you said, oh, I'm fine. I'm too old for that. That might come in 10 years when my kids grow older. My mom's never gonna change, so I just can't have that conversation. I'm fine. We gotta wait until the kids graduate before we get divorced, so we just sleep in separate bedrooms. I'm fine. I'm afraid to lose my job, and I actually don't know what I really want. But whatever. This is how life is right now. I'm fine. And the other more scientific reason why this word annoys me so much is that there is a study where scientists have calculated the odds of you being born. They've literally crunched a number on that. What are the odds of you being born? And they took into account all the wars, all the natural disasters, the dinosaurs and everything. And do you realize what the odds really are that you are here right now today? Take a breath right now and really come back to me for this one. You being born at the moment in time to the parents you are born to with the DNA structure that you have is 1 in 400 trillions. That's 4 with 11 zeros. 400 trillion. You have to write that number down. It's so ridiculous. Isn't that amazing? So lucky. You're so freaking lucky to be here. And you are not fine. You're fantastic. You have life-changing ideas for a reason. They are not there to torture you. I had that for the longest time, not being able to have any ideas. And then once I finally know how to tap into my inner voice and connect with my intuition, I had a period in my life where I wasn't able to manage all the ideas and thoughts that I ever could have. And even today, I have to kick myself in the butt a little bit because of how many, for sure, million-dollar ideas I never acted on in the past 10 years. It's freaking ridiculous. You are fantastic. All your ideas are there for a reason. But what do we do with them? Nothing. I bet you, if you really took a close look, you had a couple of those amazing ideas that are bubbling up inside of you. And what did you do with them? You hit the snooze button, right? How many good ideas have you had when you've been listening to any podcast in the past year? Any YouTube video you watched, any article you read, boom, 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 they just come to you when you're in this right energy state. You have that light bulb moment, oh, I should do this, I should do that. You gotta grab it. But 11 out of 10 times when we have an idea, what do? Boop! We hit the snooze button. Let me ask you this. What is the first decision you made this morning? I bet it was something around like, oof, I want to go back to bed. The first decision today of you, the 1 in 400 trillion. I want to go back to sleep. And I get it. Your bed is comfortable. It's cozy. It's warm. And if you're lucky, you got someone you love next to you to cuddle with. And the reason why I'm bringing up this very first decision that you made today, making you aware of this inner snooze button, is because in any area of your life that you want to change anything, there is one fact that you need to know. Just one. If you don't take anything away from this session, please remember this. Take another deep breath and come back to me. You're never going to feel like it. Ever. Like Mel loves to say, no one is coming. Motivation is never happening out of the blue. You're never going to feel like it. And scientists love to call this activation energy. That's what this force is called that is required from you being in on autopilot to doing something new. There is this little impulse of energy needed to snap you out of it and into a new timeline. So try this test tomorrow morning. You set your alarm for 30 minutes earlier than usual. And then when it goes off, take those sheets, throw them off, and stand up and start your day. No snooze, no delay. No, I'll just wait there for another 5 seconds because I deserve it. Do it now. And the reason why I want you to do this, because you will come face to face with the physical force that is required to change your behavior. You're having the thought, hey, I want to try something different. I'm ready for that impulse. This is what activates your motivation that gets you into gear, that activates that physical force that helps you change from what you would normally do. In neurolinguistic programming, we talk about this away from or towards energy. It always is a force required to get you going. The activation energy to get your ass away from your couch and out in front of the door to go for that walk you said you're gonna do is the exact same amount of force that it takes for you to push yourself out of a warm bed and into the cold room. And what's interesting about being an adult is that when you become 18, nobody tells you what the right thing to do is. You have the job to parent yourself. And by parent yourself, I mean it's your job to make yourself do the crap you don't want to do so you are becoming everything you're supposed to become. But meanwhile, you're so damn busy waiting to feel like it, but you're never going to. That's the reparenting. And that might require a little force and a little determination to get off that damn Instagram reel scrolling. If you made yourself a feast for lunch, at least clean up after it. Drink your water. Don't have that cookie before the healthy meal. Get out of that pantry at 11 p.m. When you were still a kid, your parents made you do those things you didn't feel like doing, so you can become the person you are today. If they hadn't made you go to bed early to be fit again for the next day, you wouldn't have done it. Let's be honest. And this is literally, unfortunately, the thing why we are somehow drama addicted or just have forgotten how to do the boring things or the things that are uncomfortable. Because this transition never really happened of how can we be a good parent to ourselves. And even when we get good at something and we figure out how it goes and we come up against something that we don't want to do, we'll plateau and then we get bored and then we hate our job and we don't want to do it. And this is so boring and we want to distract ourselves and we want to disassociate. Coming back to episode the three components of burnout depersonalization. This is where it all starts. But here's this thing, how it's actually quite easy how to get what you really want, but why it's not simple. You have to force yourself. And I mean force. This is uncomfortable truth that we are not really allowed to use in this wellness society that we are in right now. That we have to force ourselves to do something. And I urge you to see force as a neutral circumstance, nothing that's loaded with a mental story. Because our brain actually only really has two kinds of speeds. Either you have the autopilot or you have the emergency brake. And guess which one your brain likes better? Of course, the autopilot. Being halfway in, halfway out, emotionally detaching from a situation, these is all things we do on autopilot. You had that experience when you're driving to work and you get there and you forgot how you got there. Oh my god, this is so real. Or you get to bed and you forgot if you brushed your teeth or not. You were not drunk. It's because that your brain was on autopilot. It was functioning just on this low level. And the problem with your mind is that anything you do, anything that's different from your normal routine, guess what? Your brain does emergency brake. Especially if you want to introduce something new that requires additional brain energy to get it started and to really foster that new neural pathway in your brain. You're gonna face those emergency brakes. And it has that reaction for everything. And I mean everything. You walk into the kitchen and you see everybody's left their breakfast dishes for you and you think, for the 100th time, I'm going to kill them. In fact, I'm going to leave them right there. I'm going to make them do it. But that's not your normal routine, is it? So your mind goes like emergency brake and you go right into autopilot and you just load it, get it done and be pissed while doing it and then punish your husband by not having sex with him. And when I say force, like anything that's a break from your routine, it's going to require force to do it. And if you think about your life, when we grow up, we are so taught to establish routines and trying to push our lives in some sort of stable routine and then we get bored by them. And then you wake up one day, the same time every day, you have largely the same breakfast, you drive to work the same way, you show up to work, you look busy, you avoid making calls, you post something smart on your LinkedIn, you dial into a meeting while doodling the whole time, and you go back, you go through a couple of Instagram stories, you make plans for the evening, you look busy some more, then you drive home the same way, eat largely the same dinner, watch the same kind of media, and then you go to bed and do the same thing all over again. No wonder you are bored out of your mind. It's the routine that's killing you. I have that theory about people getting stuck in life. Most of you have probably taken the basic Psych 101 class in college and there you bumped into Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Well, your body is kind of cool because you have those basic needs. And your body is weird to send you signals. If you're hungry, you need food. If you're thirsty, you need water. And what do you do when you feel stuck or dissatisfied in your life? It's a signal. It's not a signal that your life is broken. It's a signal that one of the most basic needs is not being met. Your need for exploration. Everything about your life, about your body grows. Your cells regenerate, your hair, your nails, everything grows your entire life. And your soul needs exploration and growth too. And the only way you will get it is by forcing yourself into be uncomfortable, forcing yourself to get outside, out of your own head. If you keep staying in your head, you're stuck in your emergency brake. In fact, if I put a speaker in your mind and we would broadcast what you're saying to yourself, we would be institutionalized, don't you think? You would not hang out with people that talk to each other that way, like you talk to yourself. So get out of your own head. Your feelings are screwing you. They're messing with you all the time because you're never shown that you have actually control over them. I don't care how you feel, to be frank. I care about what you want. And if you listen to how you feel when it comes to what you want, you will not get it because you will never feel like it. So that's why you need to get out of your own comfort zone. It's not about taking risks. It's about getting outside of your comfort zone. Those first 3 seconds when you push yourself out of bed, they blow, I know. But once you're out there, it's great. Those first 3 seconds when you're about to head into a networking event and the host is saying, "Up, it's time for mingling." And you're freezing, being scared of having to talk about yourself. And you're thinking, "Oh, shoot, I should do that." And you remember all those experiences you had when you had that impulse to do something and then you didn't do it. Because this activation energy required to get yourself into force was missing. And your emergency brake got pulled. I can articulate that so well because I know exactly how that feels. So every time my mind pulls that emergency brake, I have to remember how good it feels to actually put myself out there. To actually start a conversation. That it's good for me, especially as an introvert. Especially as a manifestor with a repelling aura. It is freaking tough to face rejection and to face the blank stare. But I have to remember all the good times, all the good connections that come out of it. Every time I feel there is nothing gonna happen from that, that these are the moments something's shifting, something's forming that's beyond my wildest dreams. That's where the magic is. That's where that 1 in 400 trillion comes in. Mel calls it the 5-second rule. And I applied it so many times and I pitch it in every major workshop. And even top-level corporate executives don't know about that rule. So it's such a freaking good mind hack. Listen up. It correlates with our shrinking attention span. You might notice that when you are on TikTok or on Reels and you keep scrolling through and in a millisecond you decide if something's interesting or not. And the thought error we have about our attention span that's getting shorter, shorter and shorter is that we are not in control of what we think. Therefore, we are the victim of whatever happens in our mind. But with this 5-second rule, it is the proof that you have a little lead time in which you are in control of those little impulses that are pulling you in certain directions. And here's the thing, if you don't marry this impulse with an action within 5 seconds, your brain pulls the emergency brake and kills the idea. It just kills it. If you have that impulse to get up and come dance while the band is playing, and you don't stand up within 5 seconds, you're going to pull the emergency brake. If you have an impulse about you being inspired by some speech and you don't do something with it within 5 seconds, write a note, send yourself a text message, book that consultation that's been offered. Anything physical to marry that impulse, this idea, with an action, you will pull the emergency brake and kill the idea. Your problem are not a lack of ideas. Your problem is you don't act on them and you kill them. You're unconsciously doing it to yourself. And the good news, you can stop it. I'm counting on you. You, the 1 in 400 trillion, you got what it takes to redirect, to marry that impulse with a constructive action within 5 seconds. You've got stuff to do in this world and it's not gonna just happen in your head. So I want you to practice this today. I want you to practice the 5-second rule where you see someone and you think, I feel drawn to that person to ask them a question or give them a compliment. They look somehow interesting to you and you have the impulse to walk over. Or you feel inspired by someone and you have a request to make or offer a collaboration or desire to work with that person. That's why you're here. You wanna experience those impulses and act on them. And I think you'll be shocked what happens. What if you chose that priming thought that opportunities are literally all around you? I have a little story backing that up because in the early days of my coaching business journey, I caught myself riding the subway in Vienna casually and I was really thinking to me like, hey, where are clients? How can I get clients? Where are they? Where are they hiding? And I was listening to a podcast from my back then sales coach and she really primed me on that thinking that clients are literally everywhere. And I kid you not, once I told myself, hey, what if that is true? By the next blink, I opened my eyes and all the people that were standing around in the subway, staring at their phones, Googling with that second croissant at the bakery, although they know they shouldn't take it, doing some mind-numbing things to waste their time away, it clicked for me. Clients are everywhere and opportunities are everywhere. What if everywhere you go, everything you see is really an opportunity for you if you choose to see it? So if you feel like you never get those impulses, try that priming. And suddenly you open the portal and you get impulses to do something out of your ordinary routine. So here's how it goes. You feel the impulse and you give yourself 5 seconds to act on it. You do not count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You count backwards. You count 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and go. Count backwards. Our brain actually loves limitations. So if you limit your brain to respond within 5 seconds, you give it a chance to get excited about what's ahead. If you count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, it's so easy to continue with 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And this doesn't inspire you into action. So you wanna count backwards. And you're gonna marry it with belief. I am inspired to take action. I know exactly what needs to happen. I trust that my brain offers the right question. All good questions and impulses come from love and curiosity. And you take action. You walk over. You book that call. You're opening your mouth. You're making that request. Try that today and see how it goes for you. And latest, try that tomorrow morning. And if you need to remind yourself tonight when you're ready to fall asleep, write yourself a post-it note and write on it 5 seconds and stick it to your nightstand somewhere you'll see it first thing when you wake up. Remember that you will never feel like it if you don't prep your mind. It's like getting dressed for a date. Sometimes you have to stand in front of the closet and put on that little black dress just to get in the mood of things. The same goes for your mind. You have to prime your mind. And this can go easily as checking in and asking, what do I actually want right now? What do I actually need right now? What does my body need right now? Is it another round of snuggling? Do it intentionally. Is it visualizing your day ahead and going through some potential hiccups and tough conversations that are lined up to prepare yourself and come at it with the right attitude? Do it intentionally. Is your body craving a good stretch, a little morning working out to get your sweat in? Do it intentionally. That's your impulse right there. Give yourself those 5 seconds, counting back 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and go. And you get up and you do the thing you deep down know you need to do. And you trust that it's going to be good. And you're reparenting yourself, one action at a time. In the end of the day, it is about intentional choices. Being more intentional with your thinking, your feeling, and your action. And if we work together, you will experience how everything is indeed under your control. So here are 7 more hacks you can start implementing right away or starting tomorrow morning. Hack number 1. I highly encourage you to start each day doing something for you, working for you before you work for someone else. And this can look different every day, but it is mandatory. Hack number 2, you want to block focus time in your calendar so that you have uninterrupted work time. Consider this time like you're having a date with yourself. Even invite your personal calendar if someone needs to see that this is actually a meeting with a second person in there. But be unapologetic about just going about it. This is non-negotiable. Hack number 3 is look through your calendar, and if you get new calendar invites tomorrow morning, decline every meeting you don't add value to. And decline any meeting where your attendance is not really, really necessary. And if you're uncertain, just reach out to the organizer of the meeting and ask, hey, what is my contribution to this meeting? And could we clarify this via email too? You have the option. It's not mandatory to attend every freaking meeting you get an invite to. I promise you. And if yes, please send over your HR person. I need to talk to her. Hack number 4 is advocating for yourself and your career, because no one else is going to do it for you. This is the core of this episode. You are in charge. You have to advocate for yourself. And if you can't find time to just think about what you actually want and what your development goals are, that's what I'm here for. I have tons of clients who book sessions with me just to get clear on what they want and their goal setting. And the stronger you are, and the more you fall in love with your potential and your future, the easier it gets to advocate for you and set better boundaries. Hack number 5. You want to disconnect physically and, most important, mentally from when you're done working. When you're done working, you're done working. I have a future episode planned with a Friday cool down ritual that will help you to find a literal ritual for you that helps you to disconnect and build that bridge that helps you ease better into rest and recharge time. And say no to topics and tasks when you are already at capacity with your workload. It doesn't help anyone out if you're taking on more than you can actually do. Tell your superior, your colleague, hey, I'm task saturated. How else can we solve this? Or how can I reprioritize so we can get done what really needs to get done? And hack number 7, take time off without feeling guilty about it. And I get it, hey, you overachieving power women. I so freaking feel you. You want to stay ahead of the game. There is a little part of you that feels proud sending important follow-ups at 10 p.m. But who is it really serving? Or are you just doing those things to calm the guilt that's lingering inside of you? And if there is guilt present within you, let's clear that shit up. Seriously, this is old patterns, learned shame from previous generations that can be cleared. It is freaking possible. This is my daily bread. This is exactly what I help my clients with. In further episodes, we're gonna dive deeper into how to disconnect mentally from work and how you can establish nourishing routines that help you stay on top so you do not have to burn out by your daily work. Because let's face it, we cannot always just quit our jobs and move to Bali. But we still can, within our circumstances, make them work for us and shift gear and create more space so things become easier. Hey, you got it, my friend. And next time I ask you how you're doing, I want you to be honest with me and be honest with yourself. Own your emotional state and own what you're experiencing. And you're gonna be shocked how inspiring your bravery is to others. Thank you for spending that divine time with me. Thank you for having that impulse. Now think of that thing you deep down know you want to do. And let's count. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and go. Ready to deprogram your self-sabotaging patterns? The Mental Fitness Starter Training is open right now for enrollment. Once you are rewired and inspired, the real fun begins. Go to mentalfitnessschool.com to join class today. Thanks for listening and see you in class.